Number of people to experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives. Why? So we can enjoy a global loving community. And with that intention, I have an amazing, fabulous guest to share with you today, a gentleman that walks his talk, that is here to share some wondrous secrets for better living. And his name is Carl Helvey. And if you haven't heard of him yet, you will be hearing about him. Get paper and pen ready to write down his website, contact information. Oh, get ready. This is going to be fun. Because Carl has worked with professional and lay individuals and groups and organizations for 55 years. Yes, we're talking experience here. As a registered nurse and doctorally prepared public health practitioner, educator, consultant, and author. And as a recognized authority in his field, he has helped thousands of clients to improve their health and taught many thousands of undergraduate and graduate nursing students. So a lot of you, if you get the help of a wonderful nurse, there's a possibility that, yes, Carl had a hand in this. And he is listed in numerous national and international references and has received professional and civic awards. In 1999, he received the Distinguished Career Award from the American Public Health Association for his professional services. His broad-spectrum approach to health and holistic living involving physical, mental, and spiritual dimensions are just amazing. And in addition, the environment, relationships, local, state, and national decision makers can all influence health and have been incorporated into the comprehensive support he makes available to us all. Oh, get ready. His emphasis is on maintaining or regaining a high level of healthy aging using public health prevention and nursing models and concepts. So as you listen carefully to what Carl has to share, you are truly in the presence of a deeply caring individual who has devoted his life to bringing you a practical approach for you to live longer and add more vitality to those years in the process. So get ready, my beloved listeners, and meet Carl Helvey. Carl, hello, hello.
Thank you, Ken. I'm happy to be with you in Denver. As I said earlier, I'd been in Denver about 4 years ago for meetings, and I came also because my brother lived in Denver at that time, and he since died, but his wife still lives in Denver, and so I say hello to her if she's listening, and again, I'm happy to be with people in Denver.
Well, thank you, and we may get some people calling in with questions.
Good.
Do you want to let people know this is live, and the toll-free number in the U.S., 877-876-5227, And in Canada, 888-815-9756. International callers, 530-876-3222. Well, Carl, you've got a wonderful book, Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. I've done some review of it, and it's very impressive.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Would you please kind of tell us a little bit about why you wrote this book?
Well, as Ken mentioned, I'm a nurse, and I always like to help people, and I've helped people through my whole life. I believe in a higher being, and I believe that I am doing what God wanted me to do. My higher being is God, but for some of the listeners, it may be someone else, something else. But I believe that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and even though I will be 75 in 2 months, I still am very active in, carrying on an active lifestyle. And I wanted to reach more people. Only 11% of the population over age 65 are free of prescribed medications. And I imagine it's a smaller percentage that are free of chronic illnesses. And at 75, I have no prescribed medications. I'm unaware of any chronic illnesses at this point, and I'd like more people to be in that population. So I think if we live a healthy lifestyle, we can live, into our 70s, 80s, 90s, and be healthy and be able to travel yet and to walk every day. And I live in a three-story house. I'm up and down stairs probably 15 times a day. I walk anywhere from 2 to 7 miles a day. I try to watch what I eat, although I love my sweets, and so it's not always that easy to avoid the ice cream and the pie and the cake and all the good things in life. And I pray every day, and I try to practice all the spiritual attributes. And in my book, I say, God speaks, I listen to you, I'm happy and healthy, are you? And I believe that God does speak to us if we're open and receptive. And, I have learned through my life that through my prayer, my meditation, my service to others, that I can attune myself to God. And when I have problems or concerns, I will receive direction on what I should do. And, it's not a direct line to God, as some people say they have, but God may speak to me through my dreams. It may be through intuition. It may be through friends. For example, recently I had an anal fissure, and my doctor prescribed nitroglycerin ointment, which is very toxic to me, and it lowers your blood pressure, as you know, because that's something that they give for heart attacks, and it causes headache and dizziness and all. And I tried it one day, but I just couldn't tolerate it, and so I ended up going to the vitamin E, using vitamin E, and I drank aloe vera and did its baths and took extra vitamin E in my orally, and in a month it cleared up. Before that, I had a back injury, and I did go through the medical for that, but and physical therapy, but that didn't work. I still had pain, and when I got finished, my physical therapist said, well, you have arthritis. And I said, but I didn't have it when I started 6 months ago. Well, she said, things change. She said, you'll have pain the rest of your life. I said, but I didn't have it before. I can't accept having pain. I won't accept having pain. And so three people entered my life and said, go to a chiropractor. The fourth one not only said, go to a chiropractor, they gave me the name of one. And so I went, and it was a wonderful chiropractor from Switzerland who had many years of experience, but he had also studied massage. He had studied with a osteopath. And, it in a very short time, my back is fine again. And I also discovered something called the Health Bridge, which is based on a yoga position. And I lay on that a couple times a day, and it puts you back into perfect posture, but it's also good for low back pain. So I feel like God speaks to me and directs me to, you know, where I need to go in order to get my body back into shape so I can continue doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think we all have access to that.
Yes.
Do you not agree,
well,
Dan?
100% aligned with you there, Carl. We do have access to that from a loving creator that I don't know how many different ways he's spoken to people on the planet. Different faiths and religions have come forward, and yet I think there's a great number of us that believe that there is this one creative source, and that that source is available to us. And obviously, from listening to you, we see how that has blessed your life. And then bringing forth this book, obviously you have a passion not only for your own health and well-being and a willingness to try different things. That's fabulous. You are now sharing with people in your book a lot of practical advice. Well, share with me a little bit, our listeners here. How can we remain healthy and independent throughout our lives?
Well, I think that the research shows that if you eat right, if you exercise, if you pray, meditate, you have positive relationships, you're in a clean environment, you sleep well, you treat others well, you have and you have a positive attitude, that you will live a long, happy, healthy life. And as you said, I see this as holism, and I see it as six areas that one should work on, and you know, not mm-hmm. necessarily every day, but you know, they should be things that are included in the things that we do in life, and that is the health, the physical, mental, spiritual. Our relationships are very important. Our environment. And politics, because our politicians make decisions about our health, and they can be harmful or they can be helpful. They set priorities, and sometimes their priorities aren't in the best interest of our health. And that's when I believe we need to take some action. And as groups, sometimes we can have an impact on our politicians. Sometimes we don't. But I think that these are all important aspects of maintaining your health as you go through life. So some of the specifics, you know, is our smoking cessation, you know, because smoking is the number one preventable health problem in the country, being fast overtaken by obesity. But there's lots of things that one can do, and I know how difficult it is to stop smoking because I'm an ex-smoker, and I tried everything. I tried acupuncture, I tried hypnosis, I tried several things before I found the right thing that helped me to stop smoking. But you know, it's very difficult, and I outline several things that one can do to stop smoking in the book in terms of a holistic approach. You know, like exercise is very good when you're trying to stop smoking, so that's something you should start 2 to 3 months before, you know, you stop smoking. You also need to decide, how am I going to quit? Am I going to go to cold turkey? Am I going to get something that will give me a little bit of nicotine throughout the day, and I decrease that over time? You should learn about relaxation techniques if you don't know. You should visualize yourself not smoking. Sometimes you should write a contract with yourself that helps make it a little bit easier to stop. on the day you quit, that's usually the most difficult, and it gets easier as you go along. And I found that if you visit friends or family or whatever on the day that you quit, you're not thinking as much about wanting a cigarette. You also need to think about, you know, what are the situations that are risk situations for you, and how can you avoid those? And then there's lots of things that are depleted in the body when you smoke, like vitamin C, vitamin B12, vitamin E. These are things that need to be increased when you quit smoking because your body's been depleted. Also, often it's easier to quit smoking if you have a partner. And so, you know, it's best. And if you have two people in a household and one quits and the other doesn't, that's very difficult. So it's better if you can get both people to quit together. And then when you quit, a cleansing program is also very important. Not only, you know, how it smells in the house when someone it's been closed up and people smoke. You need to get all of that smoke out of the house, but you also need to get it out of your body because it almost is absorbed in the body. And you know, as you go through cleansing programs, it makes it easier to quit smoking. And then the weight loss I mentioned, there are about 70 million people in the United States that are overweight, a third of all adults. Isn't that a shame? That, you know, we have gotten to that point because of all the health problems that are related to obesity. And a fifth of all children are overweight. So people think, well, they'll skip breakfast. Well, the breakfast is the most important meal of the day because your metabolism is higher right after breakfast than at any other time, so your body absorbs that food more readily so that you're less likely to gain weight from what you eat first thing in the morning. And another thing, people think, oh, well, I'll go on a fast. I just won't eat. Well, again, that's the worst thing that you can do because research shows that when you fast, then you tend to turn the food into fat more easily. Water is very important, you know, in weight loss because it not only helps to fill you up, but it flushes the body. So I try to drink a gallon of water a day, but, you know, I think they advocate at least 8 glasses of water a day. Then also they're finding from research that if you have 5 small meals a day, that's better than it is to have one large meal because, you know, the swings up back and forth, the blood sugar levels. And one thing that I've discovered that is very helpful for weight loss, and that is something called chromium picolinate, which is a mineral. It's really a glucose tolerance factor, chromium, and it stabilizes the blood sugar level so that, you know, you don't have the swings, and it makes it easier when you're trying to lose weight. Calcium.
Oh, hello again, everybody. I temporarily lost the connection, but thank goodness, Carl, you were still able to continue sharing good things with my listeners. I'm appreciative for that. And Carl?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Hello.
Right.
Oh, good. But, so you were speaking about chromium, I guess, is
right.
The health effects on nutrition?
Right. And another mineral or vitamin that's very good for weight loss is calcium, because recently they have discovered that calcium helps break down fat. And so they recommend that you get 1,200 milligrams a day of calcium. Now, I take I take maybe 600 milligrams a day of calcium because I drink milk and eat cheese and cottage cheese and things like that, and I figure that I probably get the rest in the food that I eat. Exercise is extremely important for weight loss because it not only increases the overall metabolism, but it also decreases stress. And for those of you that do exercise, as you know, it elevates your mood so that because there's increased oxygen to the brain. So that's very good for weight loss and also a high-fiber diet. So I tend to eat cereal primarily for breakfast with fruit. I have a salad for lunch probably 360 days a year. And then at night I eat primarily vegetables and maybe a piece of chicken or a piece of fish, seafood. And as I mentioned,
yes,
I have trouble staying away from my sweets. But other than that, I stay pretty much with a high-fiber diet. Affirmations are very important when you're trying to lose weight. I think one affirmation might be, I'm at the weight I want to be. I'm happy and healthy at the weight I'm at. Visualizing yourself at the weight that you want to be at. Visualizing yourself in an, if you're a woman in a new dress or a man in a new suit or a new outfit of some sort, at the weight that you want to be at. Then also meditation and stress reduction techniques help with weight loss. And again, the self-contract. I've mentioned that as far as smoking cessation, but a self-contract is where you write your goals and how you plan to accomplish them and what equipment or what supplies you need before you start the program. What happens? What's your reward if you're successful? What are you giving up if you're not successful? And then you sign the contract, usually with another person, and the other person then kind of helps you through that process. And it makes it a little bit easier than, you know, if you're just going out and trying to do it. It's sort of like Weight Watchers.
Yeah, do you have recommendations for people when they're reaching out for support or supporting someone that has reached out for support in terms of how they handle things in case the individual is kind of falling short of their goal?
You mean in terms of weight loss or smoking cessation or just in general?
Yeah, when they've made a contract and they've enrolled a person to support them to stay on track.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if someone shared the term like an accountability buddy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not sure if that would be another way of describing it, but
right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if you have recommendations on how people in those roles, if they're in the support of someone and someone kind of falls down on the job a little bit, any good approach to helping them to get back on track?
You know, the one thing that is built into the contract is what you're going to give up if you don't meet your goal. So, you know, you might give $100 to some organization. That might be written in your goal. And so that the person that is helping you will make sure that you, you know, fulfill that part of the contract. But I think it's hard to motivate from outside. I think that we almost have to motivate ourselves. And so that it's, the outside person is more someone that's going to make sure that you handle what you said you were going to do if you didn't accomplish what you planned to accomplish.
Right. And I don't know for sure. Is this contract thing sounds very interesting. Is that any of that perhaps in your book,
yes,
Blueprint
is.
For Success,
mm-hmm.
Healthy
uh-huh.
Holistic Aging?
Right. I think I have an example in there and also an outline of, you know, of a contract. For example, if you were renting things that you would need to buy before, you'd need to get shoes, running shoes. You might need to get a gym suit to run in. You would have to reschedule so that you might have to get up earlier in the morning to do your running before you went to work or schedule when you were going to do it. So there's a lot of preparation for most any of these behavioral changes. The same with weight loss. You know, you'd need to get scales if you have to measure your food. You would have to maybe get a book. I use South Beach Diet, even though there's been some negative reports about it. It's been successful for me. However, I tend to eventually put some of the weight back on, and then I have to go back on it. Because at my age, again, I have problems with the weight creeping on. So I use the South Beach diet, which is low fat, low carbohydrate, and I try to stay pretty close to that most of the time anyhow, but because of the sweets, the weight will creep on periodically, and then I'll just go back onto the diet and get it off, and then start up again. So it's a battle.
You mentioned going, a daily about 2 to 7 miles?
Right. I live by the Chesapeake, and so the Chesapeake Bay, so I have beaches right by where I live, and I walk. There's one beach that's about 2 miles from my house to the end, and the other beach is 7 miles. So if I have time, I do the 7 mile, and if I don't, I do the 2 mile. Now, most of my neighbors have golf carts, and I think it's a status symbol, and I, tell them that I think that it's a poor example for their children to be carting them around on golf carts, but they seem to think that it's real fun. And one of them offered to give me a golf cart, and I told him that I appreciated their offer, but as long as I can walk, I will walk, because if you don't use it, you lose it. And so, I walk, but most of my neighbors go down the beach in their golf carts.
Well, I would think that sometime down the road they're going to be turning to you, as they may be experiencing some health difficulties, and see you out there strutting down the road, down the beach, and kind of going, Carl, what are you doing?
I think that sometimes is a common thing among people in general, because they want to do what they want to do, and then when they get sick, they want a pill to solve it, because they have other priorities. And maybe it's because I'm a nurse that I see the value of, and because I had lung cancer 30 years ago, that may be why I see the value of trying to live a fairly healthy lifestyle. But as I say, a lot of people just, would prefer to do other things, and then when they get sick, go to the doctor and get a pill and hope that will take care of it. But I think sometimes the pills are going to make it worse than what it was to begin with. And especially with older people, older people, many are on so many pills, and there's so much interaction among all the pills that they take, and they get confused. And sometimes, when you take them off everything, they seem to do better. Now, I have a friend upstate New York. She's my age, and also a nurse that I worked with at Bellevue back in the 50s. And I saw her when I was in New York over Christmas. And she said to me, well, I'm not on any medications either. And I said, oh, that's great, Helga. And she said, no, the doctor prescribed them, and I threw them out. And she looked great. And apparently it didn't have much of an effect on her, and because she was getting around well. So, I thought
that's
the right
that
attitude.
That says a lot. And I mean, you're coming from a place you made mention of that you had had a lung cancer condition 30 years ago, and.
In 1977, in July of this year, it will be 30 years, I had a dream, and it told me to go for a chest x-ray. So I went, and my doctor told me that he wanted me to go in the hospital, and so they did biopsies. And the next thing, the surgeon is coming in my room and telling me that I have lung cancer, and they're going to remove my lungs. And I said, wait a minute. I said, I don't make snap decisions like this. I go home. I pray about it. I make a rational decision. But I said, your responsibility is to tell me the pros and cons of surgery, and my responsibility is to make the decision. So he told me that I would be dead in 6 months if I didn't have surgery. So I came home. And I prayed about it, and I got a very definite no for surgery. And one of my friends thought, she said that she knew a psychic in Florida that she thought was the best in the country, and that if I wanted, she would get a reading for me, and so we had a reading. And he also picked it up and said I should not have surgery. My friend told me that she would be available day or night if I had any doubts, you know. And so she also gave me the name of a physician in Vienna, Virginia, who had worked with the National Institute of Health and had much success treating cancer patients, but they stopped the program, but he continued on. And so I went to him, and he verified that it was lung cancer, put me on Laetril, which was illegal. I went to, he told me where to get it in Baltimore, Maryland. I started the Laetril. I went on a special diet that was primarily raw fruit and vegetables with a little bit of cooked fruit and vegetables and minimal protein. And I took a variety of vitamins and minerals and enzymes. I called Olga Worrell, who is a psychic healer in Baltimore, Maryland at that time, and she has since died. And she put me on her prayer list. I was on prayer lists at churches. I meditated every day. I visualized. I continued working. I used affirmations. Laetril was made from apricot pits, and so I used to carry around apricot pits with me and eat those during the day. And I don't know if you've ever had an apricot pit, but they're very bitter.
Bitter, yeah.
Right. And so I continued, you know, with my regime. And I went back to the doctor every 3 months, but I didn't tell him I was doing anything. But it actually was my doctor's sister who was my support and also who got me to the people, the physician in Northern Virginia. And so after 2 years, he said he guessed he had made the wrong diagnosis. So my friend, another physician friend who had been professor of pediatrics when I taught at Duke University, and at this point he's the director of Blue Cross Blue Shield for the state of North Carolina, and he wanted to see the lab, the x-rays, everything. And so I took it all down, and he said it definitely was lung cancer. Now, one of the important pieces, I think, besides the prayer and meditation and the church prayer and all, was staying optimistic, because I believe that, you know, that if we're positive, we attract positive things in our life. If we're negative, we attract negative things in our life. And so I tried to stay optimistic, but what I discovered is that sometimes the people that loved me the most would unknowingly put a doubt in my mind, like my mother, who said, well, why don't you just do what the doctor wants you to do? And then these other things. Well, you know, she meant well, but that would put a doubt in my mind. But, you know, I knew that I could not go through surgery, that I had to do it the way I was doing it. And I think some of it was not only for my own benefit, but also for the benefit of my students, because I was able then after this to talk with the students about some of the complementary therapies that are available for cancer. And I've had interaction with many cancer patients since, and some of them have chosen to use alternative. Now, I have a good friend in Woodstock, New York, and she was diagnosed 2 years ago, and she's using an herbal treatment, and she's growing red clover and burdock and different herbs, and she's using that, and she's going to an acupuncturist and is very successful in her approach. And you may have read about the 16-year-old boy on the eastern shore of Virginia, where the courts got involved and social service got involved, and they were trying to force him to have traditional treatment, which he had started, but it was so traumatic that he refused to continue. And his family took him to for the herbal treatment. It was the Hoxie treatment that was very, very popular and very, very successful back in the 30s, 40s, 50s. And then the court and social service got involved, and they told him that he had to go for the traditional. And so then they took it to court again, and the court ruled in his favor. And so I think he ended up having a combination of both. And as far as I know, he's, you know, had success with his approach too. So there are other ways, and I think that, you know, I went through this to help my students see that there are other ways to deal with health problems than the traditional, and to help other people that came into my life that had, you know, cancer, so that I could at least point out some alternatives.
Well, to me, that's courageous, a great act of love for yourself, and a great gift to the rest of us, Carl.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, forgive me, because there's been an interruption in some of the signal connecting me into the line. Did you speak at all about, in your book, something about being wrinkle-free without surgery?
Right. Uh-huh. Right. At 75, again, I have no wrinkles. And I think some of it is genetic, but the research is that only 25% of what happens to us in life is genetic, and the other 75% is our lifestyle and the environment. So I think that there's a lot that we can do, and one of them is with our skin. And so one of the first things that I stopped using soap probably 30 years ago. And this was because my mother was pushing this, because my sister was selling Mary Kay.
Ah.
And she said, well, won't you at least try it? So I said, fine. So I tried it. Well, I don't know what it's made of, because, you know, it's not labeled. It's the only thing I know of in this country, the only product that I know of that's not labeled with the ingredients. But I use their deep cleaner, and a purifier that gets all of the dirt and all off the skin, but it doesn't dry the skin out. And so I use no soap on my face. Second thing is the sun. You know, a lot of people love and love to lay in the sun, and when I was younger, I did also. But the sun dries your skin and causes wrinkles, and we've all seen people that you could tell the wrinkles were as a result of their, you know, being so much in the sun. Exercise is, again, you know, exercise seems to come up over and over in the literature, but it also is very important as far as avoiding wrinkles, because it brings the blood to the surface of the skin and increases the elasticity of the skin. So exercise is very important. Smoking, avoiding smoking, is very important, because when you smoke, you pucker your mouth and you put it in a certain position, and then that repetitious position causes wrinkles around your mouth. I think that your spiritual life, your prayer for yourself and for others, and your practice of the spiritual attributes helps you to have faith, so that you don't get what I call worry wrinkles.
Ah.
And I think the last 6 years at least, there has been so much effort. Well, I don't know if they've tried intentionally, but I think they've been pretty successful, the current administration in Washington, in making people fearful. But, you know, I keep saying, why are people afraid of about terrorism attack? Why are they afraid of this? Why are they afraid there won't be enough immunizations for everyone? Why are they, you know, everyone is afraid. And yet, if people had faith in a higher being, would they need to be afraid? And so this also affects your faith, because if you worry, you get worry wrinkles. But if you believe in a higher being and believe that what where you're supposed to be, that what is to happen to you will happen, etc. You don't need to worry. And so that's another aspect of avoiding wrinkles. Also your diet, if you again have a high fiber diet, low fat, low carbohydrate, that again clears your skin and has a positive effect on avoiding wrinkles. And as a last resort, if, you know, I'll start getting a little bit of a line between my eyebrows, and I use something called Gerovital or GH3. And again, it's been used in Europe for many, 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 many years, but it's still not legal in this country. So I don't give out the, a way to get this. But if your listeners are interested and they go on my website and they send me a note, I'll be happy to tell them where they can get it. But it smooths out wrinkles. It takes about a month. Then you drink 10 cc on an empty stomach. So I usually set it out and I drink it during the night when I get up to go to the bathroom. And in about a month, the lines that I'm starting to get will smooth out, and that's the end of that wrinkle.
Oh, my goodness. And that is to visit you at www.healthyholisticaging.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H-Y, and then holistic, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-G-I-N-G, no spaces, it's not case-sensitive. Healthyholisticaging.com, and on that website they can check in with you about this GH3.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, good. Well, geez, this is some wonderful advice, and I want to encourage my listeners to take a look at your book. Your advice is just so powerful, and I see that on the book that you've also got connections to the people of the Edgar Casey Foundation.
Right, right. Charles Thomas Casey, who is Edgar Casey's grandson, and I have been friends for 35 years. I met him when I was teaching at Duke, and he came to do a little presentation to our study group. For those that are interested, the Edgar Casey Foundation has a worldwide search for God group, and it's a group that is interested, the original group was interested in developing the spiritual attributes, learning to have patience, faith, forgiveness, love, etc. And Edgar Casey worked with this group, and they came up with two books, and now there are study groups around the world that meet once a week. They meet in someone's home. And now our group that I'm in now, we rotate from by month from one home to another. You meditate, you take a discipline from the chapter that you're working on, and you try to apply that in your day-to-day life, and then you discuss your successes and failures with your group. And the whole emphasis is on being a better person and being more Christ-like in your interactions with others. And so Charles Thomas and I have been friends for 35 years. And when he wrote my foreword in the book, He said something like that he had met me 25 years ago. And I told his administrative assistant, I said, well, time goes fast when you're having fun. Because I said, we met 35 years ago, not 25. So she said, well, you go ahead and change it. Because I've been in Virginia, I guess, close to 35 years.
Mm.
So, and we've been good friends, and I've gotten a lot from the Edgar Casey Search for God groups. And if people are interested, they can call, and there is a study group office, and they can tell them if there is a group in their area around the country or around the world. And the other thing that they have is, and I assume people may know about this, but maybe not, they do have a list of physicians around the country also that use the Association for Research and Enlightenment and, you know, get a referral. The clinic is in Arizona, and they have done a lot of research, you know, on the Edgar Cayce reading. And so I also use these a lot as a volunteer nurse when I first moved to Virginia. And I used to go to the Cayce camp and volunteer as a nurse in the summer. And so I used the castor oil packs and a lot of the things that were in the Cayce readings.
Mm. Wow.
And they're very good, you know.
Yes, well, his track record as a medical intuitive is just so well documented and astounding.
Yes,
That's truly one of the gifts gifts of God, that he would be among us. Now, when I looked in your book, I want my listeners to know this. As a resource, you have a pretty detailed health assessment that a person can go in and do a lot of checking for themselves to see how they're doing, where they're on track, or where they need some help.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I think that's very important that people, you know where they need to start in their own life. You know, and so, and being a nurse again, we have something we call the nursing process, which is assessing, planning, implementing, and evaluating. And so I tended to follow as much as I could what we call, well, physicians call it something different, but I think most health professions go through this process of trying to identify now, you know, but I think that a lot of what is done can be done by individuals themselves. They, you know, especially if you're well, you don't need to go to the physician to do that. So I included these assessment tools so that individuals could do their own assessment and could determine where they need to put their emphasis. For example, if the environment, if you're living in a clean environment, if you've got radon detectors, you've got smoke detectors, you don't have any mold in your house, your rugs are all, you know, skid-proof, and you've got the bars in the bathroom, and you've thrown out the old medicines out of the medicine cabinet, the expired ones and all, then you may not need to work at all on your environment, but, you know, maybe you need to, and maybe you don't smoke, so that's not a problem, and maybe your weight's okay, so that's not a problem. So maybe you only need to work on the physical, mental, spiritual aspects of your health. But the assessment tools will tell you where, you know, you need to put your emphasis.
Oh, good. And as we're coming down to the last few minutes here, notice that, of course, you've been able to create a beautiful and disciplined lifestyle for yourself. And there's, of course, a number of things for a person to do to get healthy or regain their health or remain healthy. How could I or my listeners get some support to fit all these activities into a busy schedule?
Well, I think it's a lot of things to do, and I think it involves setting priorities. And it involves maybe combining things. So when I walk, I usually do my affirmations, because I try to do affirmations every day, because there was a point in my life where I was very negative. And, you know, if you're negative and you use an affirmation, whenever you become negative, then after a while you become positive all the time and almost never negative. So I try to use the affirmations every day. I try to visualize. If I'm exercising, if I'm laying on my health bridge, which I mentioned earlier, I can do some of my affirmations there, or I can do my visualization there.
Hmm.
So there's things that you can combine, but also you may need to set priorities so that, as I mentioned, if your environment is clean, then you may not need to focus on the environment for a while. If you want to work on your wrinkles, or avoiding wrinkles, then that may be a priority right now. But that's the main way to be able to accomplish what you need to accomplish.
Okay. And I'm not sure, on your website, you mentioned people can contact you to check in on whether it's the GH3 or can they discuss other matters with you through the, I guess what you've got, like a chat room and other...
Now, I've not used the chat room yet. My nephew set up set up my website for me. I have a forum where people can write. I also have a form on there where people can get in touch with me. And one thing that I do have, and that is a monthly newsletter.
Yes. So
that if people are interested, and it's free, in the last issue I talked about the latest research on cinnamon, for example, and it's usually a two-page newsletter that updates on any of the areas that are in the book.
Oh.
And if people send me things to put in there, then I also will include that. And I encourage people to send me information because I've had people, send and I include it, and it's helpful to other people. It's a way of sharing, the latest in health knowledge because we all come across different things that are useful to other people. So if people will get in touch with me, then I'd be happy to include them on my newsletter, health newsletter list, and then it'll come out once a month.
Oh, fabulous. That's, I love that. Thank you. That gives us a good opportunity to not only get onto your website, healthyholisticaging.com, healthyholisticaging.com, to learn more about our wonderful guest Carl Helvey, also to interact with you and get the benefit of your advice, and to order this first of, I guess there's going to be a series of books, it sounds like, this one, A Blueprint for Success,
right.
And then you've got plans for another one about overcoming roadblocks, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do we have roadblocks?
Well, my cancer was like a little roadblock. I probably should retitle that Opportunities, because I like to think of them as opportunities.
Yes.
Instead of roadblocks. So maybe I need to think about retitling it and calling it Opportunities instead of Roadblocks. But,
yes, that old thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the old turning the roadblocks into stepping stones or lemons into lemonade.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. I'm sure their book will be just filled with lots of ways to take what life gives us and to be more deliberate as we put forward happy intentions and create that. And if something has come up for us that's challenging, to turn to a healthier lifestyle and good folks like you to really help us.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm just pleased and delighted, and I know my listeners are being blessed by this door opening for them to both hear you and then have access to your great work through your books and your website. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on, and just want to wish you great success as you continue to help more people.
Well, thank you, Ken. I've enjoyed it, and I hope I'll be on with you again in the future. I wish you much success also.
Well, thank you, Carl, and to you and my beloved listeners, I just pause to say thanks be to God, creator of all that is, that it blesses us with this quality time together and that it call forth a blessing on all of our lives, that we live healthier and happier, and invite you all to tune in next Saturday. We'll have a wonderful guest coming in, Philip Gardner from England, who's going to share some amazing things about the Shroud of Turin, the Ark of the Covenant, Mary Magdalene, some of the secret societies that have been on the planet. So many, many good things coming up in the weeks ahead. Take a look at bbsradio.com at the Advanced Living for upcoming guests. And just once again, Carl, thank you. God bless, and wish everyone a wonderful week. Goodbye for now.
Bye. Let go and let God.